too rushed at Christmas time. Like you thought that like you had another week yet, and in reality, it's Thursday. Like it's just a couple days away here. Or maybe you thought, you know, you had time to find that one particular gift that you were looking for, but the stores are sold out of it, and Christmas is going to be ruined as a result of it. I'm telling you, I went everywhere in Fayette County this week looking for those Little Debbie Christmas trees for my wife's class party. I couldn't find those anywhere. Did anybody score any of those? I had to settle for these cupcakes. I got a couple people bragging in the back. Yeah. I had to settle for green and red cupcakes and just ruined Christmas. If you're like me and you answered yes to any of those questions, I think it's possible that we've fallen victim to the trap that the devil lays for us at Christmas time. To be clear, it's not a sin to be busy. It's not a sin to want Christmas to go well or for your house to be clean when your guests come over or to feel prepared for Christmas. However, if those things, or the lack thereof, rob us of our joy, that's when I wonder if the devil hasn't successfully distracted us. Anne Lamott writes in her book, Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith, if the devil can't get you to sin, he'll keep you busy. I think that's a true statement. I think that's pretty accurate. We've been looking to Psalm 95 as a basis for inspiration. We're looking for peace in a world that seems bent on keeping us from it. And we've been working our way through the three sentences of this passage, one sentence at a time. Let's take a look at it. Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the flock under His care. If only you would listen to His voice today. That final sentence there, if only you would listen to His voice today. That's what we're going to talk about. Now, I know what you're already thinking, but Zach, you venerably valiant, vivaciously verbose visionary of venerated voices, I hear you say. God just doesn't speak to people like that today, does He? Well, that's a good question, dear brothers and sisters. I would posit that God does speak to His people. For those who have, Jesus says, who have a ear to hear, He speaks in John 10, 27, that His sheep know His voice and they follow Him. His voice leads us to paths of peace. And I want us really to think about that term for just a moment, peace. Take a minute, really just breathe that word in for just a second. Wouldn't it be nice to actually have peace in your lives? I mean, would anyone say that they feel like their lives are actually peaceful? I bet if we could probably learn a thing or two from some of us in the crowd today, but others of us, if we're being honest, Can we put our hands lower than raising them when it comes to this idea of peace? It just seems to have eluded me in the past. Well, in Luke chapter 1, we get this idea of we see this Jewish girl. Mary's this young Jewish girl. She's pledged to be married to this carpenter from Nazareth. And one night, she's minding her own business. She receives this most bizarre, unexpected, yes, no, but a very important visitor who brings with him news that was also quite unexpected and yet certainly important. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." Now, we'll stop there really quickly. Well, what's interesting to me is that despite the fact that she has questions, Mary listens to the angel. She doesn't freak out. She doesn't lose her mind. She doesn't have trouble believing or arguing with the angel when she gets this news. She submits to God's plan, and she essentially says, "It will be fine." Parallel Mary's response to this angel With my response to Jess upon hearing news of her pregnancy, I immediately panicked. I am not ready. I am not prepared. I am not adequate. 15 years in, I'm not sure I'm adequate yet. You know, there's questions out there. The jury's out on whether or not I'm prepared and ready for this. But Mary has no such trouble. She listens to the angels. She prepares her. She pledges her obedience, and she's that was that. Then she asks a couple questions about how this is going to happen. She's never been with a man before in a physical relationship. She was engaged, but certainly not married. So I think it's okay that she asked this question. She didn't say, this can't be true. I've never been with a man. She asked the question, how will this be? So the angel obliges her request, explains that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her, causing her to become pregnant. Mary responds in obedience, stating, let it be as you have said. I responded to the news of my wife's pregnancy with cowardice and concern. Mary responded to news of her own pregnancy with confidence and faith. But if anyone had reason to be concerned about a pregnancy, it would be Mary, I would think. Where Jess and I had been married nearly 7 years by the time that Torin was born, that was not Mary's story. She had the excuse of being too young, too poor, too inexperienced. And to top it all off, yeah, she'd never been with a man before. So that makes it a little more than complicated when it comes to having a baby. I'm amazed at her humility and her level of trust. I don't know if I would have responded in the same way. And not necessarily because I would have had a hard time believing the angel or trusting the Holy Spirit, but why me? Why am I the person that you're calling here? I appreciate that Mary doesn't struggle with that, even though if I'm being honest with you, I probably would struggle with that a little bit. After all, who among us has never doubted ourselves, right? I mean, really, we talk about stress and anxiety that we put ourselves through during the Christmas season, you know, making sure the house is in perfect shape and the gifts that our loved ones want are present and accounted for. You know, have we ever stopped to ask ourselves why that is? Why do we put ourselves through so much abuse during the holiday season? I wonder if it's perhaps because we fear that our loved ones might be disappointed in us if we underperform during the holiday season. Is it that we fear that who we are, how we are, and what we are is simply not adequate? And so we have to outperform last year's version of us. That if I volunteer to host a Christmas party and things aren't just so, I'll be judged by my loved ones. Or if I don't get the right gift wrapped and put under the tree, someone might be disappointed specifically in me. Is that why we put ourselves through the stress and the anxiety? Are we afraid that we might fail our loved ones or disappoint them in some way? I've worked retail through the holiday seasons before. I've worked at both GameStop and Toys R Us. I miss Toys R Us. But in any case, I've worked several Black Fridays, I've worked several Christmas Eves where those last minute parents swoop in and they're trying to find whatever toy that they're looking for here. I remember 1 year PlayStations were a hot item, Nintendo Wii the next, repeat offenders such as Barbie or Power Rangers or Punch My Face Elmo or whatever the new thing is that the kids just have to have. And inevitably, we will be out of stock come the end of the year. And how many of you are fans of The Office? Either most of you are lying or you've just never seen it before, because if you've seen it, you'd be a fan. You might remember the episode where Dwight buys all of the princess unicorn dolls and the parents that are too lazy to go out and buy them. He scalps the price from $20 to $200, and people are coming in all day picking that up. I have had parents personally offer me that kind of cash if I could hook them up with whatever the hot toy is at the end of the year on December 24th. And parents will ask in desperation, can you get this for me? And my answer to that question, of course, is no. It's even if I wanted to help you with that sort of thing, I couldn't. And I've heard this more than a few times. Thanks a lot, pal. You've ruined my kids' Christmas. They storm out and they vow they'll never come back to GameStop. At least not until tax season, right? I hated hearing that because I'm sorry. just because your child doesn't get the latest video game or Wet My Pants Elmo or whatever thing it was that they wanted to get, Christmas is not ruined. Not by a long shot. Because no matter what may or may not be wrapped under your tree, the fact of the matter is Jesus Christ is born. Christmas is not ruined, and it never will be. And that, in a large way, is thanks to Mary. I appreciate her humility and her faith. I wish I could emulate that. Really, I do, because let's face it, while Jesus is a spectacular gift for us, I sometimes wonder whether we are a great gift for Jesus. Because, you know, really, if you think about it, that's not inaccurate that we are a gift for Jesus. What does John 3:16 tell us? That God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? And so this whole idea here that we are a Christmas gift for Jesus, we are part of the world, so it's kind of like we're his Christmas gift and birthday gift. Jesus is one of those December birthday kids who kind of gets both of their, you know, gifts smashed into one. It kind of stinks, but it happens sometimes. It's pretty sad. But in all seriousness, that sometimes makes me feel downright guilty that Jesus abandoned heaven and embraced earth for what? For me? I mean, doesn't he know that I'm flawed? Doesn't he know that I've sinned? Doesn't he know that I've broken just about every one of his commandments? Why me? I'm just an ordinary guy from an ordinary town with nothing spectacular to offer. But you know, I may not be able to map out the mind of God. I don't know why he loves us as much as he does, other than to tell you that he does. I mean, he tells us that straight up. Where I was once hesitant to become a father myself, on the day that I actually saw my son, everything changed. There's no thing I wouldn't do, no length I wouldn't travel, no expense I wouldn't pay to keep him safe, to keep him well, to ensure his security. And that is just what Jesus did for me. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer is encouraging his readers to run their race with perseverance. And he says this, he says, we do this best by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, your translation might say pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you catch that? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. It was Jesus's great pleasure to come and give his life for us. I don't necessarily know why. I just know that he loves me. And I also know that we don't have to earn God's love. He just loves us, and he finds you just as you are, worth leaving heaven and earth, worth leaving heaven and embracing earth for. He considers you just as you are, worth suffering and dying for. That's where a lesser man would stop. But Jesus' love is powerful enough that it brings both he and us back from the dead. He has secured a place for us in his kingdom forever, just like you would do for your children. I don't know if during this Christmas time you're maybe someone who's given themselves to Jesus. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're here today because it's Sunday and you're here every Sunday. Or maybe you're here because it's Christmas and you thought you'd try out church on Christmas Sunday. Or maybe you're here because your parents dragged you here because they wanted everyone to be together at Christmas. And you're just counting the minutes until this fat guy shuts up so we can go out to lunch. And I don't know why. Maybe you're here today. But whoever you are, and whatever your reason for being here, first, know that we're glad that you're here, right, New Heights? We're glad everybody's here today. Second, I hope you take this with you. Regardless of who you are and how you feel about yourself, you need to know that God loves you. And according to John 3:16, he loves you so much that he'd rather die than live without you. And to prove it, that's just what he did. Jesus says in that passage of Scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to what? But to save the world through him." We don't know specifically why Mary was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. I suppose There are several reasons, but then again, there may well have been someone more qualified, someone, you know, who was more experienced or just a better choice overall. But whatever may have been God's motivation for choosing her, what sealed the deal was her willingness to do it. That's what God wanted from Mary, and that's what he wants from us too, is our willingness to trust him. If we give him that, then Jesus Christ will not have come to earth in vain. Perhaps today you're not feeling overly qualified, or maybe you feel that, you know, God should pick someone else rather than you for his team. If that sounds like you, I want you to know that Jesus had you in mind when he spoke the truth of the scripture we reviewed just a second ago. Because God loves to take ordinary people and ordinary things from this ordinary world and do extraordinary things with them and in them and through them. And you don't have to be impressive or overly smart or even particularly religious to get his attention. He's simply looking for us to respond to his son. He's looking for us to say yes to him. So rather than offer God excuses as to why he can't use us, shouldn't use us, let's instead offer our trust that, flawed as we are, he could use us to accomplish the great purposes that he has in mind, and that he does love us enough that he sent his son Jesus, born of a virgin, victim of a cross, redeemed from the grave, to secure eternal life for us. Let's choose to believe that nothing is too hard for him, and that if we lay down our measuring sticks of perfection and instead adopt his perception of us, that we can surrender our hearts to him this morning. The scripture that we reviewed spells it out. If we believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he was sent to redeem us from our sins, the Bible says we will have eternal life in him. What is stopping you today from believing that? For those of us who might be visiting here at New Heights, we tend to wrap up our time usually with three challenges that help us put the message to work in our lives. And today they're going to be wrapped around this idea of listening to God's voice for us and allowing it to lead us to peace. So challenge number one today, for those of you taking notes, listen for his voice. Listen for his voice. Probably not much of a shocker there, considering that's exactly what we just said a moment ago. I don't know if you'll ever hear the audible voice of God this side of glory. Some claim that they have, and maybe you have. You know, John gives us a formula for how to kind of test and see if that's a real thing or not. But in any case, whether you hear God's audible voice or not, you can usually sense where he's calling us to go or telling us to go. And many of you have probably felt God leading you to do something specific in the past, and once you've done it, you've just sort of had that confirmed for you that this was the right thing for me to do, to say yes to God in this moment. I think it happens or would happen more often than we realize if we were open to following his direction. So my challenge is to listen for his voice and respond when he calls. Challenge number two is to listen for his intentions. Listen for his intentions for your life. Again, whether you hear his voice audibly or not, as Mary did, when God speaks to you, don't be afraid to listen. She sort of set that standard for us, didn't she? She had questions, and she was certainly aware of her limitations, but she believed that God was able to do what he said he would do when he told her of his intentions for her. And because of her obedience, the world now has Jesus. I wonder what the world will have when you say yes to God. So if God calls you, know that he has great intentions for you, believe him, and get to work. Finally, challenge number three is to listen for his followers. Listen for his followers. What do we mean by that exactly? Often one of the ways that God speaks to us, I know at least anecdotally, he has spoken to me numerous times through the people that I know who are submitted to him. People that have been my folks or my wife or elders at a church or Sunday school teachers or just believers in Christ who are submitted to him. God has on many occasions spoken through my loved ones to me and given me directions, knowledge, and general advice for my life. God's truth can be found in many sources, and our mentors and fellow Christians are just one such source, a strong one. But one source for sure. Now, as we wrap up, I spoke in our opening story about becoming a father and listening to my son's voice. Let me return to it one more time before we take off here. At this point, my wife and I, we have four children, and becoming a father and being their dad sometimes feels like my life is overly blessed. Parents, you probably know what I mean when I say that. But I can honestly tell you they have made my life more interesting. Certainly, they brought a lot of activity, a lot of merriment to my life. Babies can do that. They can breathe life into family gatherings. They can fill your heart with pride. When God sent his son born as a baby to a virgin on that first Christmas morning, he brought life, he brought love, he brought hope, he brought joy, he brought peace. Won't you accept that gift of Jesus Christ this Christmas? It's as simple as believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In fact, here in just a moment, we're going to kind of wrap things up. The band will come up. And if you're ready today to make that declaration of faith, if you're ready today to be baptized into Christ, we've got the baptistry humming back there. It's nice and warm. We'll get you in there today, if today's the day. If you'd rather think through that before you do it or talk with me about it, get a hold of me this week. My info's in the bulletin. I would love to connect with you and talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus. But for now, let's pray together, if you'll pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, for our Prince of Peace. We thank you for the comfort that we find in our shepherd's voice. Father, we pray that you would help us not just to keep his message to ourselves, but to broadcast it for all the world and the people in our own lives to hear. Work through us this holiday season as we have the chance to engage friends and family members at the dinner table that we don't always get to see. Help us to make the most out of the opportunities that you've given us to honor you and speak your name to our loved ones. We love you and we pray in Jesus through faith. Amen.